Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Now this next hymn I've been hearing sung around my place. My wife, she's on the, what shall I say, the thing that she is singing is 432, the hymn, "Oh Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners," in light of the motto is where I believe she got her inspiration to be singing. And I don't mean just once or twice. Will you sing 432? Yes, there it is. This is to the We don't sing the tune in the Trinity hymn, though we sing a tune that some of us knew for years ago. And that is, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him, Our Father, we're grateful to have the privilege of singing hymns about our precious Lord Jesus. In fact, our Father, if we were to study those hymns, we would have so much. And if we understood them, even as the writer was inspired, not by divine inspiration, but inspired somehow by your Spirit and has written those hymns, we're grateful. Help us to think upon them, how good it is to be able to sing them spontaneously during the week. Help us to think upon our blessed Lord Jesus tonight, Father, and what he means to us. May his Spirit work in our midst. May it touch our hearts. May our ears be open. And may our eyes be able to see our blessed Lord Jesus tonight. Help us to see afresh that we don't have all the answers, and that we know all there is about our Lord Jesus, and he's God. And we're so grateful that what he's done at Calvary. We're so grateful that he intercedes for us now. We need help. Our Father, we're frail. We have the old nature from old Adam. And our Father, that gives us in thought, world and deed, word and deed. And our Father, we also know that we need help spiritually tonight. This is the word that we're going to look at, your precious word. And as it is your very breath, may we hear it in the inner person. And as we have been given comprehension and intellect and emotions, may our hearts be touched with the matter of the blessedness of our Lord Jesus. And then as physically, Father, we have infirmities, we pray that we might be able to forget them and that we might see our Lord Jesus afresh. And then once again, we are inviting your presence and blessing upon us and our loved ones. So those that are not even here, we want this year to know what it is to know this blessed Lord Jesus. Help us and encourage us to that end. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And let's turn to the Word of God. I'd like us to turn to the Gospel of John first, and I have three passages here tonight, and it's my desire that I just kind of open this up and we look at it a little more closely. I must tell you that there was a runner-up, and it was in 2010, Invite a Friend. I thought that was pretty good. I would have changed it, and as it is my responsibility to edit some things, I would have probably changed it in 2010, Bring a Friend. You can invite and say, hey, oh, come on. It's nice to be able to bring somebody to church. You say, well, hey, we need to be challenged. I thought that was a runner-up. It was a pretty good challenge. In 2010, Bring a Friend. And so I mentioned that the person knows what it is. The one that's up here on top of the board is, I did edit that a little bit. It was given to me to put it in the slot, and I did put it in the slot, but I edited it a little bit, and the person knows how I edited, but it was the person's thought that counts. So thank you again, and I want us now in this Gospel of John, a passage concerning friendship. I tell you, friendship is a great subject. It's wonderful to have friends, but they're rare. Now, I'll show you in the scripture how rare they are. Now, the Lord Jesus, he's telling his 11 disciples, Judas is out of there, he's telling his 11 disciples that he's going to go away and he's going to die. And so he wants to comfort them. And now I want you to be reminded of the whole thing tonight. This is our blessed Lord Jesus, the creator of everything, the sustainer of everything. And he's speaking. And so in this 15th chapter of John, and I begin to read at verse 13, and it says, he said, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I don't know about you, but that's touching. That's really touching. That here is a message he's given to them and to encourage them. And you know, we have a message to encourage folk too. To know that we have a friend. And a scripture passage we'll look at is that sticketh closer than a brother. A time of friend for adversities. A friend that they could hear about if they come here with you, if you'd bring them, that they're a sinner's friend. That's what that hymn, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. That's a great hymn. And if you were to bring some friends, that they would hear about the sinner's friend, the Lord Jesus. And so here we have the Lord Jesus. He's talking about a personal relationship with the creator, with the sustainer, a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with such, wow. It's just hard to believe in a way. He's trying to tell them that as he goes away, that they can still have a personal, intimate, and a sustaining relationship together. You know, we live in a society, whether you know it or not, the increase of suicide says something to me, having studied a little sociology, that the people are down deep, unhappy, and lonely, and isolated. You just have to think that through a little bit. So what's the ordinary person doing? Well, they got a job. Okay. And at 7 o'clock or whatever, 8 o'clock, they get in their car, they're all alone, and they go to work, and they have the traffic problems. Get to work, they have an office, or they have on the assembly line something they have to be doing. Or if you have your own business, something you've got to do. And when noontime comes around, you may just go out and jump in the car and go down to McDonald's and drive through and have a bite to eat. That's what these boys over here at the factory, a lot of them leave at noon to go down the road, and they're going someplace to get something to eat. And so they probably, I know some of them go by themselves. The foreman, I do know, he goes by himself. So you buy a little snack or whatever, you buy at McDonald's or whatever here at the mall. And then not only that, you quit and come home. And if you have any computer desire, you sit down at the computer, check your email, make some email, whatever, something personal, play a game. Some of them play games. I don't do that, but they play a game on the computer, and then it's maybe supper time, and then the evening watch TV, and then repeat it. You can understand if you think that thing through, then that can be a drag and it can be a lonely life. You say, well, that sounds exciting. Well, you do it for a few years, you find it is not all that exciting. Nice to have a job, nice that you appreciate it. But we need contact with other people. It's just not Molly and me and the baby makes three. We need contact with one another. The way God has made us to be, we're social beings. And that's B-E-I-N-G-S. We're social beings, and we need to communicate with one another. It's important. You can't live a life all by yourself. Or you'd be in the same rut as this culture is in a same rut. It's just hard for people even to get out anymore. We need friends. And this model tonight, I want to open up at least Jesus, what a friend for 2010 or 2010, whichever way you want to say it. Both ways are all right. So what is a, give me a definition for a friend, what a friend is. And I'm not going to use a dictionary. I picked this up. It says, it's one who steps in when everyone steps out. What? It's a person who steps in when everybody else steps out. And they'll do that. I'll show you in the scripture. They're so-called friends, the only way you can keep them is to do something to keep them near you. But when the money's gone, they leave. The Bible says that. And so we need friends. I read about a man who had a business of some sort. I don't know what it was. And as the economy has gone down, some of you may not know it. It's worse than you think. I see the Sun Gazette is trying to tell us that it's a sour economy. But if you get a regular income, you may not think it's so bad, but it's not good. And even our dear friend, Jamie's been trying to get a job. This man had a problem. And so it affected his married life. And he made a statement. He said, you know, I have a dog. His wife heard him say, well, everybody ought at least have two friends. You know what she did? She went out and bought him another dog. You know, some people are just that way. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who will step in when everybody steps out. That's a real friend. And the Lord, he experienced that. They all forsook him. Now, I'm asking you in this passage in John 15:15, can Jesus really be our friend? Now, you have it up there as a model, but verse 15, can he really be my friend? Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Can he really be my friend? After all that he's done, as far as the Creator, Sustainer, the matter of a sacrifice, our Savior, can I talk to him as a friend? As you would talk to a friend? That's what he's saying here. That's the word. There can be intimacy. Man, that's, you say, well, I'm a nobody. Hey, wait a minute. he says, listen, if you love me and you obey me, he said, I tell you, you're my friends. Verse 14. He said, I do love you. And there's other passages I want to get to tonight and open this up a little bit. How can you really show that you love a person? Verse 13. What? What does it say? Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Down through the years as a preacher, I've heard, I've given him this, I've given her this, I've done this, and this, and this, and look how they treat me. I've heard parents talk that way. How ungrateful people are, they'll say, I've done all this. Yeah, but what about verse 13? Guess you didn't do that, did you? What? Did you lay down your life for that person? No, but I'd hardly believe that. Would you die for your friend? Now, I read an illustration I'm going to share with you. I'm kind of a World War II fellow. I wasn't in the war, but I fought on the home front, and I was dedicated to the guilt. I mean, I was that was my religion. And I want you to know that's true. I got two sisters that'll verify that. But so what? Well, World War II, there's an incident that I think that verse 13 would probably explain to you if you don't know what it means. There was a captain, and he was a captain of a large transport transporting soldiers across the Atlantic. They did a lot of that. And somewhere in the Atlantic, an enemy sub arose without them really knowing, I guess, what happened, and left off a torpedo right at this large transport. Now, along with the transports, they have destroyers. They're smaller boats or whatever. The guy who was the captain, his name was Jim, yeah, of the big transport. And his friend is also named Jim. It had the destroyer, and he saw it. When the captain on the transport saw it, he called into his loudspeaker. He made four words. He said, boys, this is it. Because he knew that when that torpedo would hit, that would be it and their lives. He said, boys, this is it. But Jim in the destroyer saw the thing, and he said, full speed ahead. And sure enough, he got in the line of fire of that torpedo, blew up the destroyer, but saved the transport. They were friends. Now, I don't mind listening to war stories when I read something like this or hear something like that. Both of those fellows were friends, the captain of the transport and the captain of the destroyer. But Jim and the destroyer, he'd practice verse 13. What? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Well, Jesus didn't only die for his friends, you know that. He died for his enemies. What love. Jesus, what a friend for 2010. Lord, what a friend. He loved us enough that he died as our sacrifice. He became our sacrifice on the cross. The question that comes to me, have you made friendship with this friend? Well, I know all about Jesus. I didn't say you know all about it. I said, have you made friendship with this friend? The one we say, Jesus, what a friend for 2010. Now let's look at another passage. We're going back to Proverbs. Oh, yes. And I want to remind you folks something. The Bible says that all scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus. The passages that I'm going to give you tonight, I believe they are referred to our Lord Jesus. You say, well, yes, that all scriptures testify of Christ And in 17th Proverb, in verse 17, now you try to put the Lord Jesus in this, will you please? Verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Are you a true friend? Can you be counted on for all circumstances? Would you stand by him or her? If they became poor, if they became really sick, the verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. Well, I'm not going to go see her because I want to remember her when she was my friend and he and I just had great times together, and I just can't go to see her anymore. I can't go to see him. There's a person that every time I make coffee, and I try to make coffee in the morning, I don't know why the Lord has arranged for me to remember this person in prayer. Because I was visiting when the person was sick, and they had a coffee. They arranged for the person to have fresh coffee. And I know we're made strange, but I can't help but remember to pray for that person. So what is a friend? He loveth at all times in all circumstances. I'm not going to... No, you're not. No. He left me down. She left me down. Said an unkind thing to me. I have a verse that runs through my mind frequently. And the verse goes like this, and I lost it at the moment. There's great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. He hurt me. She said something really nasty to me. I did so many things for that person, and to think that I have to receive that kind of talk, I don't want anything to do with them anymore. I tell you, our blessed Lord Jesus, he can give us some understanding of what friendship involves. Forgiveness, 70 times 7. But I've heard people say, even right out here, I can see myself, I take pictures in my mind. The person said, well, I tell you this much. I can forgive, but I can't forget. The person did me this, I can forgive him, but I can't forget. I thought, man, that, and he says he's a Christian. That isn't right, friends. Verse 17 says, a friend, our Lord Jesus, loveth at all times. It means all circumstances. When I'm down, when I mess up, and when you don't like me, and I don't like you, so to speak, we got a friend. His name is Jesus, and he stands with us. I tell you, you better think about him a little bit more, friends. You think you know all about the Lord Jesus. What about the last part of that verse, verse 17? Well, and a brother is born for adversity. Wow. In times of adversity. New York, Brother Rook was talking about Epaphras visiting Paul at Rome. He went there because he had problems back there in Colossae. And I believe that they saw him there with Paul, and he was talking about the Lord Jesus and those officers and so forth, and said, hey, I believe you embrace the same thing as this prisoner of ours, do you? And I believe that, I think you'll find out someday, Epaphras said, yes, sir. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fine. We'll take care of you. Hey, Captain, we got another one. Chain him up. And he was a prisoner. They made him a prisoner. Why did they make Epaphras a prisoner? I'll tell you why. He took a stand with the Lord Jesus, with the Apostle Paul. You check me out on it in the future in case you think that's not right. You stand with somebody in adversity. Our blessed Lord Jesus, verse 17, is a brother. He's born for adversity. He's my brother Jesus, the Lord Jesus. You say that cheapens him. Not if you know what a real brother is. Yes. He loves us all times, and he's a forever friend. I guess you ladies have little hearts that you put together, and your friend, your girlfriend gives you one half. And she has the other half. I don't know, ladies, I don't know. But somehow or other, when you put the two pieces together, it's a heart. That's pretty good. I don't mind that. But a forever friend, not off again, on again Flanagan type of a person, but forever a friend. Wow. And he saved me, and he intercedes for me, and he loves me. He calls me his son. He calls me a brother. I have part of the inheritance, and he intercedes for me, and I'm protected whatever happens. And the judgment day, going to stand in my stead. Yes. You want to talk about the Lord Jesus? Don't be afraid to use the word sweetness. The sweetness of friendship with Christ. What a sweetness it is. The sweetness of friendship. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No, never leave. No, never. No, never leave thee nor forsake thee. You mean you put up? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, never. Is that a continuous friendship he promises? Yes. Continuous. Is it a complete friendship? It's complete. Jesus, what a friend for 2010. In Romans 8:1, this is a good one for you. We're going to go to Proverbs in a minute. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. What about them? No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You have a better friend than that. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. You know, I don't even hear an amen. Something must be wrong with this old preacher. Nobody's even amen at all, these great passages. What's the matter, friends? I'm not getting it. Are you praying that I'm to get it so you get it? What a wonderful Savior. We need to know this. He was born for adversity. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble, he says. I've been born for adversity, and what will I do? He said, this is what I'll do. I'll deliver you, and you shall glorify me. I think I could sleep on that tonight if I needed some comfort. I tell you what. Just don't take it for granted. You cannot afford to be without this friend, the friend of friends, is the Lord Jesus. You say, well, I already know that, preacher. I hear it again. Tell me the old story. I'm amazed in my old days. I love to hear the gospel message over and over again. It's true. It just sounds so good to me. And I don't know whether it just wears out for you or not. You know, if you don't have him as your friend, and you know, I don't know your hearts. I have my opinions of all of you, and I believe that there's friendship here, and I hope you think that I'm a friend, and I know some of you are my friend, and most of you are my friends, and it proves it. But if you don't have this friend, you'll perish in that final day. Wow. If you don't know him personally, intimately, you'll perish in the final day. You can have your A's. You can have your textbooks. That isn't going to do it. It's a personal Savior. And I just would say to you, have your listening ear to these passages. What's the other passage? Proverbs 18. I want to get into this one, but I'm not going to get in tonight. First of all, I'm not prepared to really give an exposition of it because of circumstances, but I will tell you something, how blessed it is. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. And this all scripture, the Bible says, testifies of Christ. This is speaking about our blessed Lord Jesus also. What's it say? Proverbs 18 and verse 24. There's a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what that's really saying? If you want to have friends, you got to keep dipping it. You got to make sure they're happy. Do what they say and give them this and give them that. No, it doesn't say that. That's exactly what verse 24 means, the first part. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You see, what's wrong with that? Nothing. More blessed to give than to receive. And you keep giving, you keep giving. What about the son that left home, the prodigal son? As long as he had money, inheritance, he had plenty of friends. But remember what happened to him? He lost it all. Did he have any friends? None. Well, that's what verse 24 means, that if a man hath friends, he must show himself friendly. And that involves particularly making everybody happy you can, some way, say, shape, or form, and they'll be your friends. But he said, I want to tell you something. There is a second part. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if you never had a brother, then that may not be very applicable to you, but if you've had a brother, an older brother like I had, two of them, they just looked after their little brother. And they had a love for me. Oh, yes. I got taken care of many times by them. But it's nice to have a brother. But he says, there's a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother that you have had. I'd like to get into that verse a little more, but you're going to have to wait, the Lord willing. And that's my blessed Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You know, he's calling us. I do believe he's saying to me, he said, listen, practice what you preach. You say you love me. You stand for me. I'm telling you, we're living in days where we got to open our mouths about some of these things that are not right. You see, you're going to get shot down. So you get shot down. I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, I'm not looking for a fight, but I'm simply saying he's calling you. He's calling us, I believe, even this very moment to take a consideration that this is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he wants us, will you really follow me? Or are you just going to play religion? It's easy to play religion. Look like a Christian, smell like a Christian, act like a Christian, and be a parrot and say religious things. And everybody says, oh, they're such good Christians. Yeah? Let's see whether they really do love the Lord and obey him. I tell you, this next hymn, 533, they have a lot of jokes about this hymn. 533, there's a preacher that wasn't doing too well in the church, and he came to a place where he couldn't handle anymore, and he said, I'm hanging it up. He preached his message, and he said, I'm hanging it up. This is the last you hear from me. Guess what the organist played? She played 533. What a friend we have in Jesus. What an appropriate hymn to play, huh? No. We got to see it deeper than that. 533.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.
Closing prayer, benediction. And so, our Father, tonight we've looked at these passages, and perhaps we haven't really opened them up the way we ought to, but Lord, there they are, and it's your very voice. And so may the Spirit of God take them and work in our lives and help us that we might please you. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy through the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen.